You're going again.
You going swimming? Okay, I guess you're, we're going to move into the swimming pool, and did you call it back to order?
Swimming pool?
Swimming pool and parks?
Yeah. Go for it.
Did you want to call us back to order?
Oh, let's call us back to order, yeah.
I got you a copy of this coming tomorrow.
All right. Back to order. Swimming pool.
Okay. The swimming pool and parks, we have a budget request of $120,536. It's actually a reduction over current allocation by $3,600, and that's primarily due to the fact that we don't have a grant match budgeted for this year for the work that we hope to get done before we open the pool in June through the community development block grant. And that's for the new handicap restroom and some remodel of the existing office and shower facilities in the building. A portion of the public works director and administrative support staff salary and benefits are allocated in this budget. The budget provides for one seasonal groundskeeper that takes care of the Virginia City and Mark Twain parks. The Louise Perry Park in Lockwood is maintained via joint agreement between Story County and the school district, and has been since 2000.
Could you explain how that works, the joint agreement?
Well, they're supposed to maintain the grounds down there, but I guess there's some contentious debate on whether or not it's the grounds or just the mowing of the grass out there. I mean, we have gone out there and, you know, not much. We don't get down there that much. But we do some of the sprinkler repairs. We did last year. We had to replace a line down there and put in about 8 or new heads down there that were damaged. We replaced the vacuum pressure breaker system last year as well out there. So, I mean,
was there a written agreement, Mike, between you and the school?
There is a written agreement. It's a little couple of paragraph agreement that I did. Yes, you bet. You you bet. In the swimming pool, there's a little bit of an increase in the line item for chemicals, and that's basically due to the cost increase for chemicals to keep the water chemistry in balance for the pool. Of course, that's a seasonal operation. We hire a pool manager and up to 5 lifeguards, and it's basically June through August down there. So it's, you know, it's, we don't make any money really off the swimming pool, but it's something for the kids to do in the summertime, and, you know, we have a, keeps them out of trouble in hot water, I guess, you know. In the general government categories this year, I did provide for some increase to make some much-needed improvements on some of these parks, specifically the Louise Perry Park. The bathrooms down there, as Commissioner Gilman had mentioned, are, you know, non-existent. We provide sani huts down there and have been for a number of years, and that's because every time the bathroom has been redone and rehabbed, the vandals go in there and break it all to pieces. So we've had to lock it out and provide sani huts, and I know that's not the best use. You know, it'd be nice to have, like he mentioned, those repaired, provide maybe some lighting down there. And maybe, I don't know if you folks out there in Lockwood have a community, you know, outreach or neighborhood watch kind of program, but it's hard to keep an eye on things sometimes. But And I would hate...
That's two things, we need the street lights, which light the area, it's too dark right now, and it's, I was a kid once, I love the dark. And so it'd be better if we could light it up some.
Yeah.
I suspect on the restrooms, if there is vandalism, like for example, our restroom that's coming into Virginia City, they have mirrors that are out of stainless steel, and they have things you can put in that are not really as vandalizable.
Right.
Is that the way I'm calling it?
I'll accept it.
And I'm certainly all for, you know, doing my share of providing any assistance I can to make, you know, that place just as nice as the park we have here in Virginia City, believe me.
Yeah, I think those are the areas that we can concentrate on. Fix up the bathrooms and put in the streetlights. If we can get a budget, that would be very helpful.
I don't know if you have any other questions on the pool and parks.
No.
Where are you headed, Mark? Service?
Services.
Service is a budget, and that's basically the fleet service. We have that function in buildings and grounds because we have the shop facility up there. We have a request for $266,008. It's basically a no-growth budget, if you will. We have two mechanics that provide service for about 175 plus or minus pieces of rolling stock that is owned by the various departments in the county. The biggest two owners of the rolling stock are, of course, the fire department and the public works department, and the sheriff follows up, and then the other miscellaneous departments in the county with their few vehicles here and there. When I was appointed as public works director, the shop had been closed for, I guess, Pat, a couple of 3 years, and yeah, we were outsourcing everything. And as Gary can attest to, you know, the bills were just mounting and mounting and mounting. We were paying, you know, mechanics, you know, to the tune of $90, $100 an hour. And it was just, you know, eating into budgets heavier than it is today. So I think it's been a godsend that we decided to reestablish that function under the general fund and provide for that service to our fleet. And believe me, those two that we have up there never stop. Right now, you know, there are some vehicles, not so much the first out vehicles that are used day to day, but some of the ones that are not used that often that are suffering from neglect from just the routine maintenance. Trent was telling me this morning that some of the vehicles that he hasn't seen in the shop in over a year now, so that's not a good thing. But, you know, with two guys, it's just, and some of the other things that they're doing up there and some of the major projects, it just takes time, you know. So this year we had our automotive and equipment specialist retired in the end of February, and I'd like to take that salary savings and consider a request to hire an intermittent type employee without benefits at about $20 an hour, and he would work under Trent, and you know, when he needs an extra hand here and there to help out, and I think it would be a great benefit, and I'm sure that I think the sheriff is sitting here and the fire chief would support that recommendation.
Question on that one, Mike. Do you want a county employee, or do you want to bring them in on a private contract?
No, it'd be, we'd hire a county employee. It would be, you know, just a, what we consider a intermittent employee. They can work up to 139 hours a year without benefits.
1,000.
1,039 hours, I'm sorry. So basically, equates to about a 19-hour-a-week position. But we might use them more in the summer months than we would in the winter times, you know. But it only increases, the salary budget and the service only increased by $551, and that's with the consideration of your merit and any cost of living adjustments that are in that salary budget, so it's not significant.
So, Mike, as I understand it, you're basically an in-house service center for Story County vehicles and fleets?
Correct.
Would that be correct?
Yeah. Correct.
You bill out individual departments for the amount of time that they're using within your facility?
No, we don't do that, but we do bill out the major expense for, batteries, if a vehicle needs a starter, an alternator, or tires, that's billed out to that department. But the labor part of it, we don't bill out. We just don't have the staff to sit down and, you know, do paperwork at the end of the day. Those guys, you know, are busy enough, and we could consider doing that maybe, but, you know, you're talking, you know, some time at the end of the day to sit there and pencil out those hours. Now, they had a pretty good idea, you know, about how many hours they're spending on a vehicle.
Sometimes it's interesting, you know, if you know you're going to have to pay for fixing up your car, you treat it or your equipment a little bit differently, especially if it's come out of your budget.
Well, right. And the lion's share, the majority of those costs do come out of the individual budgets. We provide oil, filters, lube oil, antifreeze, electrical, you know, parts and pieces, wiring, little connectors, nuts and bolts, that sort of thing. We pay for the utilities up there, a portion of the utilities out of that budget, the uniforms that we provide to the two mechanics, and that sort of thing are out of this budget. But the major expense items come out of the individual departments' budgets. And I think it's a program that's well worth it. I mean, it is.
Yeah, I'll say this. In one of my former lives, I ran a federal motor pool with 90 vehicles. You have 175. I have 14 people.
Yeah.
And we still contract it out. And they could do a pretty remarkable job.
You know, at times it's a time management situation that occurs. And, you know, if they've got a vehicle that needs to be tore down for a certain period of time, you know, and sometimes we have to wait for parts because we can't just drive around the corner to the, you know, parts store and pick something up. And we're fortunate here in Virginia City that we do have a vendor that delivers the parts to us up the shop, and sometimes if we need something, they'll come two or three times during the day. We use NC Auto for that service, and Bob up here at the gas station the end of town uses those folks as well. So now we're not having to take somebody, put them in a vehicle, drive to Carson City or Reno to pick up parts, and when you do that, you're losing a couple hours out of the day for that. So
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to chime in here, and it might not like a comment, but I have this in my notes, is that at least for this oncoming period for the year ended 2014, I would like to see the labor figures taken at least a number of hours. That way, if it's the commission's request that we provide some sort of a charge for the labor on that, understanding if you use it, you pay it. some sort of a minimal charge so that we can either not do it or at least continue on a test basis to see just exactly how many hours are charged to that, what the expense would have been to that particular department had that labor been included.
How big of a hassle is that?
Well, we'll just develop some kind of a worksheet, you know, that they can use, and we'll just track it the best we can, you know.
I know in the real world, if I'm working on one of Gary's fire trucks and I've ordered a part, and then I jump over on someone else's vehicle from another department, I work on it, so the part comes in.
And that does happen.
A lot of this.
Yeah.
You know, within a maintenance facility.
You know, one mechanic might work on five or six vehicles during a day, if
yeah.
they, you know, and they might be not just that department's vehicle.
It'll help you out. And,
but we'll certainly make a stab at it, you know. That's all we can do. Yeah, I'll work with you, and we'll draw, get something developed that we can, you know, track that and see if we can get a true indication of what the hours might be to a specific department, you bet. Any other questions regarding the service?
Roads. How do we go? So we're up to roads.
Get some of my notes in. Maybe I'll find where Jesse's. Oh, here we go. Okay. The roads budget. Revenue versus expenditures, there's a little decrease in where we'd be a little bit at about 1% out of whack with total expense versus total revenues. Our budget request is $1,105,607.
That's about a mile of pay.
Well, yeah, I also provided a sheet in there of some of the projects that, you know, need to be done, and that's an ongoing work in progress, if you will. And if you look at that, you know, there's about $1,900,000 in projects that have been identified to complete. And with, you know, we have an allocation of $475,000 for road improvements countywide. You know, it doesn't go very far today's costs and pricing. The other thing on road improvements is to take into consideration the road department. We have a total of 3 full-time personnel, and we have 2 intermittent employees, and then we bring on 2 seasonal employees in the summer months. So in the summer months, you know, our workforce increases, almost doubles, if you will, from 3 to 7. But, you know, I myself have to jump in and, you know, operate a dump truck or haul pavement or run a street sweeper. It's just, that's the nature of the beast. We don't have, you know, the luxury of having, you know, unlimited funding in the roads budget. We have no ad valorem, as you can see from the revenue side. So, you know, we do with, you know, the best we can with what we have to work with. The other thing this year in the roads budget is the additional $25,000 expense for the winter sand and salt. As I mentioned in my write-up here, that NDOT is not going to subsidize that anymore for any county, so I did a little scenario based on prior use, and worst-case scenario, that expense would be about $25,000 for the winter sand and salt, and that's for Virginia City, Goldwell, the Highlands, Mark Twain, a little bit we do in Lockwood, and of course, the industrial park out there. Try.
Mr. Chairman, if I could chime in for just a minute. Roads has typically been the one where our dedicated funding sources are never enough to fully sustain the needs. What we have done, and Mike's graciously, well, not so graciously, but at least acceptingly taken a hit, we used to transfer $300,000 from the general fund. Last year, for the first time, I believe we leaned that down by $100,000, down to $200,000. The key I would like to suggest we focus on, and I know using the words raising taxes is always fearful, but we've been lobbying in the legislature right now. There's 100 different methodologies that they're looking at in terms of fuel taxes to solve some of these things, and one of them gives the counties more autonomy in raising this fuel tax. We're very low. If you'll recall, over the last several months, Dean Haymore has repeatedly stated that we have a number of fuel dumps, if you will, located in the county where they can fuel their own vehicles. Typically, they're Washoe County-based. But because of the differential, the great differential between the Washoe County taxes, mostly because of the combined RTC there versus us, there's a huge difference in diesel. Right now, we cannot raise or even suggest to you raising diesel-only prices. We have to tie those to gas. The minute we do those, that puts great strain on Bob and Maddie locally, our own businesses and everything. But we've got a truck stop out of Tribe that just generates tremendous volume. And actually, I think benefits greatly from that reduced tax, because the last time I went out there, the price of diesel at Tribe wasn't much different than the price of diesel down at the truck stop on Sparks Boulevard. So we're looking at that diesel-only option if we're enabled by the legislature, and then might come back to you. In years past, that was acceptable to Bob and Maddie, but quite honestly, it's not legal yet under current legislation.
Yeah, the last NACO meeting I went to, this was a big topic of discussion on, and specifically, could we split gasoline and diesel and do, at the county's discretion, tax both or either or. And so that's kind of what we're looking at, and I'd like to see it broken down even further than that, where we could exempt, the VC station, for instance. But I don't know how that is going to fall out. But I think we'd be doing everybody a disservice if we had to lay the taxes on the local station here. Probably wouldn't do them any good, but so that's, anyway, I know NACO's working on it, and a lot of the counties are very interested, the small counties, very interested in seeing some improvements and some thinking outside the box on that. And so we may or may not get anything out of this session, but at least it gets people thinking about it.
Right. The other thing is to take into consideration that bill that myself and Bum testified on a couple weeks ago, whereby they were thinking about making the $25,000 threshold, if you will. So you'd have to go out to bid for these projects. If we had to do that, they'd shut us down, basically. You know, if we had to use contract labor for everything we did, I mean, it would be devastating. I was talking to Bum this morning on it, and they're still looking at some proposed amendment language to it. And one of the things that recently surfaced was the possibility of excluding counties under a certain population threshold. And so They did, I guess, agree to raise that from $25,000 to $100,000, so it ties more in line with the requirements under NRS for the public works criteria for having to go to bid, you know, so Bob's keeping an eye on it, so.
That had zero support at MACO also.
Yeah.
That just, and in fact, I sat in on one of the committees and listened to the arguments, and it was, everybody was thumbs down.
Just a couple other highlights in the road. What I typically try to do is, you know, run my expenses within the revenues that are allocated without having to, you know, dip into beginning or ending fund balance, because, you know, it's nice to have a little bit cushion there, you know, for the unknowns. I mean, if some of our equipment is, you know, aged equipment, and we have a medium-term financing obligation in this budget that we have about a year and a half left on that, and I would hope that when that obligation is paid off, that we look at the possibility of maybe keeping it rolling so we can replace some of the equipment that needs to be replaced. Example is a backhoe, a motor grader. Some of our dump trucks have over close to 100,000 miles on them, and they just show, you know, wear and tear. But we will work within the framework that we have. The other thing, and I mean, we can beat this to death on revenue, you know, is once those roads out in the industrial park need to be worked on, you know, they're going to be significant because a lot of that's going to be contract work. Right now, just to micro-seal that portion of USA Parkway from Waltham up to basically Italy, you know, that's a $400,000 or $500,000 project. And we don't have the capability to do that in-house, so that would have to be contracted. And that shows in the sheet that I provided to you for those projects. Anything we can do on the revenue side to get a little bit more in there would, you know, benefit everybody, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I think through this next fiscal period, one of the things that I would like to do is just try at least the possibility of trying to replace the transfers from various funds, from the general equipment acquisition to whatever, to roads, and pretty much with roads, try and give them a consistent revenue stream so that they can operate. That's a big undertaking, but at some point in time, I would like to see that that Mike with the road crew understands for the most part that, you know, from areas of what he has, that gas tax is particularly good for that, but from other areas that he can depend on from year to year and not have to look at the general or equipment acquisition or other special revenue fund for funding. And, that's kind of what I'd like to do from, at least through this period ending 2014, give you some suggestions for next year.
Any other questions that I might be able to answer in the road fund budget? Bill?
What's our total number of paved lane miles countywide?
Paved lane miles countywide. Well, they basically break it down by road miles. We have just a little over 77 road miles that are.
So I can figure.
But I'll give you an example of lane miles, because we did a survey out in the industrial park. In the industrial park, we have just under 34 road miles, but we have 93 lane miles.
So. And you got 77 total roads?
77, yeah, total roads that we report and certify to the Department of Taxation.
I can figure that out.
So, and some of those, there's a few little gravel roads that are thrown into that mix, not, maybe, the gravel roads, I think maybe about 10 miles, less than 10 miles. So, the lion's share are paved road miles. Anything else?
Good, okay. What do we got next, the eight waters?
Yeah, this would be a recess to convene, although I think you were going to call for public comment.
Yeah, what I want to do now, at this point in the general budget hearing, is go ahead, open it up for any public comment, questions, whatever.
Yeah?
Mr. Chairman?
No comments, okay.
If it has to do with water and sewer, you have to wait until after water and sewer.
Yeah.
If it has to do with water and sewer, though, he's going to have to wait until we're done talking about water and sewer.
Right.
Is this just not one that we've got to do there, or is it the whole thing?
No, right to where we are right now on item 22. Okay? Up to item 22.
Okay.
This public comment is related to the block.
Right. I just explained it.
So it's on the road?
You can ask questions on the budget up to item 22 on your agenda.
Okay, yeah, you're the only one I can't hear out there, I can hear everybody else that speaks, so I don't know what it is, Bill, I don't want to pick on you, but your voice doesn't carry. She turned that noise up, and I can hear good out there, I don't even want Bill's earphones now. But I've got some overall views of the budget, that I see the county's shortcomings. We had people in some departments, like Janice Seddon was up here, and she's got a special classification for one lady in there, that's $67,000. She's got a special, office manager, that's her title, $67,000. We've got one in Hughes Department, same issue, not office manager, but $67,000. It seems like when these people get up to the top in the union scale, somebody is feeling so sorry for them, they just keeps giving a raise every year, finding a way to pay them more money. And that is a problem with me. And outside, we was talking about outside contracting, I took a long time to find this guy's name, that the county has hired as a contract service for Mark Stafford, okay? I'd heard that he was getting $200,000, I'd heard a lot of stuff, heard he was related to everybody, but he isn't, he worked peanuts. And we do well to contract out as much work as we possibly can, because he's per item, we should give him everything in TRI, all that river, and if he does good and his price right, let him have the Highlands, and let him come on up in the rest of the county, and let our high-priced folks thin them down, and let them sit in there and do whatever they do with the computers. And the little pictures, the maps coming down, taking a picture of my house, and cut the high cost of benefits. I talked to Bum about an issue with the state, we ought to be in there trying to get the same conditions the state has for their employees. They can negotiate for working conditions, and they can't negotiate for wages and benefits, the two things that's killing the counties, is wages and benefits. They can't negotiate for those. Those are hand-me-out, and they get what you give them, just like our directors. Those people, they get paid whatever you folks decide to give them. And we could cut this cost down. There's people, you can't have a fox watching the chicken coop like the firemen. We ought to get somebody to go up to Battle Mountain or Lander Counties, they got a total volunteer fire department. down to Mineral, what they got, almost a total fire department volunteer. Give us the privilege on the ballot, just put the ballot, hey, you want to go to a volunteer fire department, blah, blah, blah. You write your site to stay where we're at, I'll write a site where we go, and let's see what the people of the county run decide. Just like the five county commissioners. Let us have some say in this business. You people, your predecessors haven't done too good a job. Management, I sit here and just give everything away to everybody. That guy down there, he could probably come down and do all the outside work that isn't clerk work in the office and probably save us half the money on the budget that we've got going to the assessor. It's the same thing in the rest of the departments. Why do we need an office manager in the assessor's office? Isn't she the office manager? You've got three employees. She's the department head and an office manager and Ms. Witten, and that's it. Now, does that make any sense to anybody? It doesn't make any sense to me. And one of the biggest issues I've got is the fire department, yes. We're spending a lot of money we don't need to spend. We've got way too many people working for them. And I don't feel unsafe at night because I don't see a fireman across the street. I do feel unsafe whenever I don't know where the cops are. And it looks to me like our county is wanting to beat up the sheriff's department and pile all over here on the other end of public safety. They call them both public safety. Well, I'll sleep better if I know a cop's out driving my neighborhood than I will if two or three firemen are over washing a truck. Thank you, sir.
Who shot up the slide across the street from your house?
What?
Who shot up the slide across
I don't know.
Did you hear the gunshot?
I heard that, but I know I didn't hear it. Question. I sleep good with guns. That's why I want a pistol.
Well, you're looking out for us down there. Come on.
I am, but not at night. And in my area, see, if I could get you guys to buy me a hearing aid like Lance has got, can you wear that to bed?
If you can't hear gunfire, that's not going to do you any good.
But Dale, I don't need it
there. If I heard gunfire over there, that close, I can't imagine it over there with a...
Well, you got that Osama bin Laden-looking compound of yours down there. I'd expect to see a half-inch Browning.
That's a privacy, Sarah.
Yeah.
Me and my wife have a privacy thing in that compound.
Next thing you know,
we're... The screwdriver, you can get in, and then you get to meet Miss Mickey, the rock one, and you get to meet me with Pitt.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you for
are
your...
You're going to do something about the sheriff's budget?
We're going to come to that.
Please increase it.
We're going to get...
My wife just called me. I can hear her. Come home. Come home.
Okay.
And I want to make sure the sheriff gets my position.
If you got to leave, got good to see you.
I eat out.
Always
thanks
a pleasure.
Thanks for coming to office. We're getting the paper next week.
You got to love it.
Okay, hello, commissioners. My name is Gunther Prosser. I'm from the River District. And I'm sure you guys realize I'm going to be talking about the swimming pool and parks. And as we kind of heard, that nobody really knows who's in charge of what, where, whether it be a maintenance department with the Nevin, whether it be the school district taking care of the park, whether it be the county to take care of the park, or whether it's, he's not here, community service director taking care of the park. So I guess I can only address Mr. Nevin's part, because you're saying you're going by departments. And in the budget, it shows he has $120,500, I mean, with round numbers, for the swimming pool and the parks. It shows that $66,000 of that is for salary and benefits. That leaves the kids and the public $54,000 for repairs and things. In the letter that is in the budget, it states that there's been some questioning from the public, and that's why you've increased the budget for the parks. You've gone from $5,000 to $6,000. In the years past, back in the 2000s, it was up for 5 years in a row, it was up to $20,000 per park. Of course, we all know that that was not spent per park. My questions are, in the recent last 2 years, we were budgeted $5,000, and it shows that in 2011, Virginia City Highlands had $4,850. Virginia City Highlands had $270. Mark Twain had $286 spent for the year on the park. And Lockwood that year had $1,237. So you didn't even spend the $5,000 that was allocated for those parks but yet you've raised it another $1,000. I think we'd probably be really happy if we would have gotten the $5,000 worth of work, and not even, you wouldn't even have to raise it, but we will take the $6,000. As for last year, Virginia City Park got $8,000 on their annual budget here. The Highlands got $860, the Mark Twain got $972, and Lockwood got $749. Again, if we would have just gotten the $5,000 that was budgeted for each park, it would have been very, very helpful. I'm glad to see that we're addressing some of the light issues and some of the fixing up the toilets, because there are preventive ways to fix those things. I tried for the last 2 years just to get a maintenance program. Mr. Nevin says it's the school district's responsibility to maintain that park. I was on the PTO, the Parent Teachers Association, from 1995 to 2002 as a treasurer. We were the ones that had that grass put in because the kids were playing on dirt. Soccer and football were playing on dirt. The agreement that I recall is it was a verbal agreement that the school district would take care of the mowing of the lawn. I have been to the school district meetings, and if you tell them that they're responsible for that total park, I think they will be in shock. The other issue on Lockwood Park is that it has received grants, according to your budget here, $4,000 last year, year before last, $25,000 last year, and $8,000 up to date this year. We are looking at $32,000 worth of grants. I know they're specific for specific areas, but I welcome any of you to come down there, take a look at that park, and tell me that you've spent $32,000 worth of improvements on that park. And the other thing is, I don't know if you will be addressing the tourism department in this budget, tentative budget meeting, because you just got that department, and Resolution 340 says, which you passed last year, 12340 says that the Board of Commissioners needs to approve the budget. Then, on June 19th, Resolution 343 says that the county manager needs to approve that budget. At the January meeting of this year at the VCTC, it passed Resolution 13-365, which takes it back to the Board of Commissioners to pass the tentative and final budget of the VCTC. So I just wanted to make you aware of those issues. And when other departments come up to speak, I have some things I'd like to discuss with you on those departments. If you have any questions. Thank you.
My name is John Miller. I'm the coordinator for the River District Neighborhood Watch. I think someone had mentioned that they didn't know if the Neighborhood Watch was there. We've been running for 3 years. Along with Gunther, with the parks, seen nothing done. Our sheriff, Jerry Antonella, was fed up with us telling him that we didn't like what's going on in the park. So he got a bunch of us volunteers, and we planted 30 trees, 20 lilac bushes that have been run over by a mower. And those lilac bushes were screened. We don't know who did it, don't know if the mower did it or nothing. My big concern is the lights. I have investigated these lights. I talked to Mr. Hargrove from the MV Energy. There's 3 telephone poles across the street from the park. If we put lights on those poles, it would light up the school, the park, and the senior center without bothering anybody in the neighborhoods. This would ensure that there would be less vandalism, easier for police to protect. During the morning hours, during the winter, these kids are going to school in the dark, walking up those hills. There's people in cars, and I'm sorry to say, that don't pay attention to 15-mile-an-hour speed limits there. Without lights there, they cannot see these kids. So I am glad that the committee has mentioned the lights in the park and the bathroom, so I would like to get maybe this straightened away, that who is the park managers, whether it is the school or whether it is this county. I would like to see one of the other identities to take part into it, because then we can go back to that part and really get something done. I've talked to a couple of the commissioners here about the park, seriously, and these gentlemen have agreed with me, so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Hey, John.
My name is General House. Do I have some time, or is there some time allocated for me?
Yeah.
Or what? My question is that, do I have, how many times? What's the minutes? How many minutes do I have? 10 minutes? 3 minutes? Can I know how many, what is the topics that you're going to talk? Because I got a whole list here, plus additional more of this paper. So can you give me roughly, give me a guideline, what is the things that you have talked? I know Marvin has talked about roads, talk about a bit of the parks. Other than that, what is that?
Do you have an agenda in front of you?
Yes, I got an agenda, but the agenda doesn't tell me much.
Where?
Because this, as you say, there's two part.
If I can address that very briefly, we've done general government revenues, clerk treasurer, district court, genetic marker testing, drug court, recorder, assessor, technology fund, buildings and grounds, swimming pool, service, roads, and roads.
Thank you. Okay. On the general funds, I was a bit surprised to see that the sheriff department was cut a lot, about $400,000, while the fire departments haven't maintained the same service, same amount of budget. Well, these two departments is very important. My question is that, why is the sheriff department being cut off so much? Additional to that, the sheriff itself has...
We haven't covered either of those two issues yet.
Okay, sorry about that. Looking to MRA, this is more a little bit generous on the government funding. There is a cost on office copiers and maintenance. It seems that there is a lot. I see the budget is administration 7,000, IT 3,004, recorder 3,000, treasurer 3,007, assessor 3,100. How many units do you have, and how much is the maintenance that is cost for that? Data, advanced data systems, maintenance. I see that they also were segregated out. One technology, 10,500, assessor, 9,000, recorder, 5,000, and so on. Is there a double dipping on the different departments? Why is nothing consolidated into one? Because from one
department... You're being itemized across the different departments is how it's being done.
Yeah, but isn't it this, when you buy something in one big lump sum as a services, you get a better amount of cost. Rather than putting in, are you telling me that you're going to be costing $300,000 for the whole county, or are we going to get as a bunch of maybe $100,000 for the whole county? Because now I look at it, it seems like you are double dipping from every area. Recorder department. Traveling expenses. I see that there is a lot of expenses very high in 2002, $6,000. 2013, just up to March, it is $4,000. That is only, the recorder department has only one recorder and one deputy. How can you be traveling so much money? Now, it also has this ADS software. But it's not budgeting in the recorder. Why is it budgeting in the technology sections? Why is it not accounted? So that means to say you are not showing a true picture how much the department costing is. Assessors. Appraisal. It seems to have two accounts too. One is 53021 is appraisal, another one is the consultant. Why are we not consolidated? Why is the burden out? Are you trying to hide something on that basis? The software for assessor, 100,500. Now, it's also budget in technologies. Why is it not accounted in assessor units? Now, ABS assessor also seen paying for $9,000. Now, come to technologies. Software acquisition. How many softwares are you acquiring? Are you using it one software for one department, buying one unit for itself, or are you buying a master's where you can use it for all the departments or multiple departments? That will be most cost effective. So I do not know, because it seems that when I look at the budget, every department has a cost too. So can I know how many units of software, what type of software, and how much it costs? Then you can appropriate to whatever department it is. Computers. This is, I understand that it's recommendations that now the computers have to be changed. Most of the departments. How do you all evaluate on that basis? Computers, systems, can be used more than 5 years, or 3 years, or 4 years, or even more. I have used my computers even already 8 years. I'm still using it. The only thing I do is update my software. Why are we applying so much replacement this year? Infrastructures. Did we talk about infrastructures? No? Okay. Where? You did not talk about it?
What you want?
VCT. No? Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Who else do we have over here? Anyone? Okay.
Could I talk to Mark? He's not here.
No.
No. All righty. Moving right along here. All right. We're going to recess and reconvene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board. Item number 24 is tentative budget hearings for water and sewer. And so we make Dale the king. We can make.
Let's make him Mo.
We can make. Janet will be.
You can go to lunch and come back after dinner. We'll still be here.
We'll appoint Janet is Minister of Finance or Minister of the Treasury. And I need to tell you that. On Gunther, we'll make him Vice King. Just in case, you know, have a backup. I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. We'll delve into the water system first, and then we'll move into the sewer system. Total request that I had made in the water system was $680,234. In addition to that, there was a request for $273,800 in infrastructure improvements on the water side. But I see that those are also included in the capital outlay portion of the water budget. So, just so we know where it is. Okay, the water system, and I provided you with an overview, and I don't think I need to reread that unless you want me to, you know. But basically, you know, it's an old system, and it's been here since the beginning of the Comstock, and we're responsible for the maintenance and upkeep of it as part of the system. This system, I might mention too, the revenues and charges for services are for those users that use the system. So we have customer base in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Silver City. There's no general fund allocation that gets passed into this water system other than possibly infrastructure. And when the infrastructure fund was set up, it was specifically set up for water, wastewater, and school needs, but now that's been expanded. So the significant considerations for this budget, are a request for an additional full-time operator position. Basically, right now we have a half-time, we have one operator that serves the water and sewer needs, and then I fill in every other weekend and some evenings and vacations, sick leave, annual leave. We only have two certified folks here in town that are able to run our treatment facility, and I be one of those two. So, at times it gets pretty taxing, believe me. We spend a lot of sleepless nights, and specifically in the springtime when the water coming in requires additional treatment so that we're in compliance with the Safe Drinking Water Act. And, you know, we might spend an hour or two a day on a weekend. We might spend 8 to 10 hours a day on a weekend. It just depends on what we're dealing with and what we have to do in that plant to compensate for the treatment that's required because of the raw water turbidity. And basically, turbidity is the particles in the water, and they can change daily. But we have to meet a minimum standard, otherwise we're not in compliance. So it gets pretty taxing, and I mean, the request for the operator, you know, is an $85,000 request with salary and benefits, and I certainly understand that if we can't afford to do it, you know, we'll continue to do the best we can with what we have, and you know, that's all you can ask of us. But it'd be nice to have an additional person, somebody that we can rely on, we can provide training to, because it's just getting to the point where I think it's something we have to look at.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the law requires us to have a minimum of two?
We have to have somebody available 365, 24/7. So, and so in the off hours, you know, our one operator is paid standby. Of course, I get, you know, no additional, you know, compensation on my end for, you know, jumping in and doing what I need to do to make it all work, you know. So, that's probably the biggest thing that you'll see, other than the fact that, you know, there's some work that needs to happen out on that pipeline and the siphon. And one of the things that we identified last year, we had two significant failures, and one of them happened on Street Vibrations weekend, and myself and John spent a good portion of the weekend out babysitting that line after we made the repair that Saturday morning. And because we have to babysit it and treat it with kid gloves because of the condition and the age of it, we didn't see water flowing back into the 5-mile tank for 2.5 days. We got a little concerned. Sometimes we get an airlock in that pipe, and there's, from our end of the beginning of the siphon at Lakeview to Virginia City, roughly, you know, by the way of road, there's about 16 miles of pipe. So one of the things that I had our engineer take a look at is what's causing these significant failures other than age. And one of the things that we discovered is if we were able to install some automated air release assemblies on the siphon and pipeline, that could buy us some time, because to replace that pipeline is millions and millions of dollars, and we don't have it, you know, and the ratepayers, you know, I mean, you could, and if we lose that pipeline, we don't have another source, you know, we can't fire up well one or well two, and like Carson City does, and, you know, compensate.
But get that 5 mile reservoir.
Yeah, that would also, and that's one of the requests too, is to look at that. It provides that additional 5.5 million gallons of storage. So if that siphon goes down, you know, we do have some backup there, you know.
Now let me ask this. I know in the past there were some questions from SHPO about doing anything on that old pipeline. Has that been resolved? Because it is a national civil engineering.
There were some programs that the state had that right now, today, have no funding, basically, in them. You know, one of them was the old AB 148. It seemed like there was another one, but basically there's no funding in those two. But you know, we continue to look and work, you know, diligently at, you know, grant possibilities for replacement of both the siphon and portions of the pipeline from 5 Mile to Virginia City. You know, one of those things. It's a lot of expense, and we did a water master plan in 2010, I believe, and that document resides here in the courthouse, and so, you know, that's got some real good information. We identified some of those projects that needed to be looked at, and you can see the breakdown of expense on those, and I'm not going to, you know, go into that here today. I don't have that information sitting here in front of me, but I think if we can at least put in these vacuum pressure automated assemblies, we'll buy some time. It'd make us sleep a little easier at night. You know, I mean, you sit on pins and needles wondering when the next time, you know, when it's going to happen. We're fortunate in today's world with the technology that we have that once the siphon goes down and we lose pressure, it sends an alarm to our smartphone. So we're at least immediately notified, and we can react. And on the Marlet side, they can shut that valve down, so, you know, we're not flooding out, you know, some of those homes on the Duck Hill side of the highway over there. And we did have some damage to one last April, and but it's just, they're built right next to the line, and why Washoe County ever let them build next to that easement is beyond anybody's best guess, but they're there and we have to deal with them. So if we can, you know, do whatever we can to, you know, at least help out, put Band-Aids, and that's all we do really, is when it breaks, we cut it out. You know, we have some pipe stockpiled out there at the Marlet maintenance yard, and, you know, we go over there, we cut it, measure it, do it, put it in, you know. There's significant pressure on that line underneath the highway there. You're about 660 PSI, and you have to have that much pressure to push that water all the way back over to the Comstock here. So And we continue to do what we can do to, you know, to look to see how we can make improvements, and if we can buy some time by including some of these that I've identified here as immediate need, it'd make life, I think, a little bit easier for us.
Mr. Chairman, in October 2000, there was a plan for infrastructure, and in that infrastructure, with about $420,000 of schools for repairs, was a $1 million item for the water line replacement. I think as of this date, there wasn't but maybe $125,000 left. But we still have, we have to make a new plan for infrastructure now, and obviously that water line replacement is going to be part of it.
Yep. The agreement that we entered into this morning that you approved for CMI and water, you know, that'll, and that revenue's projected in this revenue stream is shown in your budget. It will net about $42,000. So we could use a portion of that to help with some of these costs as well as far as repairs on the pipeline. And I do definitely want to get all the commissioners involved in a tour out there when the weather improves, because I want to take you all the way through the system so you have an appreciation of really what it's all about.
I've been watching that thing for over half a century. I know what the...
Well, maybe you've been up there, but I'll get you up to the Marlette site.
I'm quite familiar.
Hobart and the Diversion Dam, Red House, the East Slope, and just see what we're dealing with.
You know, the physics of the thing are that if you ever had a good water hammer from an air bubble, there she goes.
No, and that happens, and I think that's sometimes, you know, with these automated valves, they'll do that. They'll do funny things to you, too, so, you know.
650 PSI underneath that highway.
Yeah, well, that's what I've always said. When that goes, when it goes under the highway, then I think you'll see some reaction from... You know, some of these folks maybe that have more power than you three sitting here, and maybe that'll ruffle some feathers and make things happen. But, you know, it's never going to go away. It's just going to continue to get worse.
I think, Michael, one of the things we all miss as a community.
What's that,
is
Commissioner?
How much thank you we owe you. Something that I've been surprised at and concerned about. Is the water and the sewer program and how old it is. And you're like working with bubble gum and baling wire. But more importantly than that, I don't think people realize you don't make extra time. You don't make extra money. You give up every other weekend to make sure the water is on and the water system's working. You get in a piece of machinery when you got to take care of a road. You give free time after hours, before hours, 7 days a week. I think you're the most incredible blueprint kind of a guy for a community. You're very, very generous with us. And I think we all need to acknowledge how much you give to keep up the water and sewer going here in this Virginia City community. And I, for one, I want to thank you a lot.
I certainly appreciate your kind comments.
Well, it's serious. Folks don't have any idea how much time you spend out of that house here.
The other thing in the water is the fact that we did a rate analysis, let's see, it'd been about, well, coming up 3 years ago, I guess, and our water rates hadn't been raised to keep up with expenses in 12 years, so we were falling behind revenue versus expenditures. It was just mismatched. So the prior commission embarked on a 5-year phase-in of a rate increase, and in July we hope to get your approval for the third portion of that. That amounts to $4.11 on the residential rate and $5.90 a month on the commercial rate. So we'll be coming probably sometime in June for a resolution on the rate adjustments on both water and sewer. And I'm here if you have any questions, concerns, comments.
Mike, one.
Yes.
The new operator for water, is he going to be at some point in time trying to have the same certificates on the sewer side?
We certainly hope so. Yeah, we'll cross-train. I mean, we have to because we're so small, you know. But sewer, you know, there's no money right now in sewer to even consider hiring an extra person. But we both myself and John Dufresne is our operator, and we strive and continue to strive to, you know, get the certifications needed and necessary, you know. And right now we have those on the water side, and we're working diligently on the sewer side. And it just takes time, you know. Just, you don't do it in a month or two or a year. It just, you know, there's on-the-job training requirements. There's certain things that we have to meet under the NRS 455 for that certification. So, but we are moving forward on, you know, making sure that we have those. So we, like on the sewer side, we use, and we'll mention that, an outside source for, you know, our operator record.
Well, we got to do what we got to do with the water system. No question about that. Okay.
Sewer district.
Probably go into the sewer now.
Yeah. We want to hear about the wooden sewer pipe.
It's funny you should mention that. We've been, the prior staff comments here, I've been making mention of what we find in the ground. We had one last week just south of the bank where we replaced about an 80-foot section. And thankfully, we have nice neighbors in the Lyon County Public Works, and they responded within an hour with their Vactor truck and helped us out. And they have three or four times of recent. But we discovered that some of that line that runs on the west side of East Street between Taylor and Union was nothing on the bottom of the pipe. It was just dirt. So eventually it just backed up, and we had a heck of a time with it, but we finally got it. But sewer, Virginia, I guess we're going to start calling it the Story County Water and Sewer System. Used to be the Virginia Divide and Gold Hill Septic. Anyway, we have a request of $414,460. Water is similar to sewer. Revenues are not general funded. They're user fees only. As part of the rate increase analysis that was done a couple years back, sewer was in bad shape and it still is today as far as I'm concerned. we'll have on the sewer side, we decided that the rate increase needed to be phased in over 3 years instead of five. And so we'll be before you probably in June for the third go around on that increase, and that's $4.02 on residential and $5.90 on commercial on the sewer side. And that's just for operational. That will not take into account the loan repayment, and we'll deal with that. And that loan repayment, we'll probably won't see that anyway in this budget for 14. It'll probably be in the next year. I'm not exactly sure, but we did a analysis of what it would take for that repayment, and it comes just under about $12 a month for a user, which I didn't think was too bad. I mean,
this is the last programmed increase for the depreciation.
Right, on the sewer side, yeah. So we'll be able to match more revenue and expense, and hopefully get it where it comes into balance. And thankfully, on the sewer side, we did have the core money, the USACE grant funds for the design and rehabilitation of the entire system here in Virginia City and Gold Hill and the treatment plant. And we're going to embark on phase one, hopefully as soon as the sensitivity analysis is complete, and they're anticipating that hopefully by fall, so then we can move forward on the construction end of things there. And I'm not going to sit here and read all this because you guys have it in front of you and it was in the packet. So there's been a few adjustments to the budget, specifically in some of the line items, postage and lab fees, and we have an increase, and that's primarily from the shared costs of the postage now going to the individual departments and such, because, you know, we send out monthly billings, of course, so we budget that increase between water and sewer, split 50-50. One thing I want to mention on the sewer, on the expenditure side, on the USAC grant match, we need to reduce that from $141,000 to $93,000. So there'll be a little bit of savings there. And then I want to eliminate the request in capital outlay of $25,000. Just take that down to zero. We haven't used it, and with the anticipation of getting a new plant down there, I don't think we'll need it, so that'll put us back in the black by about $34,000, I believe, in the sewer side. The other small increase is our contract with SPB Utilities. And they're the certified operator of the plant. We utilize them. And recently I was talking to Mitch down there at Canyon, and he was able to go out and find a retired operator, if you will, that had the certifications that were necessary. So I asked Mitch, I said, do you mind if I get a hold of this guy? Maybe he'd be willing to be our certified operator of record, and we could eliminate SPB Utilities altogether, and I think we'd save some. So I'm looking into that. So between, I don't know if I'll have an answer between now and the final, but I mean, anything I can do to reduce those costs, I'm going to do, believe me.
Great thought, great idea.
So we're looking into that. And that's pretty much sewer. And we will continue to, we'll continue to pump the Gold Hill septic, and that fees about $2,100 a quarter.
Comments, questions?
What sewer the one thing we do have to do is protect that ending fund balance, because that's been eroded for the last 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. So whatever we can do to see what that is, I think that sewer has to be done. We've got the funding that will be in place probably after the first of the year. But I'm glad that Mike said that it may not start until probably the very end of the next fiscal year, or this next fiscal year, or above.
but I think the area can't depict it any fund balance.
Yeah, and part of the reason, you know, for the eroding of that ending fund balance was our match, you know, for that USACE funds. It was a 75-25, so, you know, that had to come out of the cash because it was a cash match. It had to be a cash match, so we're about through that. And Sherry, oh, she's here, so it's just we have some, because the government operates, you know, fiscal year different than we do, so there's some carryover, so we had to budget that $93,000 in cash there. We may not use all that, so if we don't use it, it'll help the ending fund as well.
How about it, Mikey?
That's all I have for
questions. Anything, anyone? Comments, public comment on sewer and water?
My name is Janet Hutz. Mike, you have explained to me about $141,000, which is a cash match grant, which is a cash. My question is that when you say cash, does it relate to, do we spend the money or not?
Yes.
So you spend on expenses to match on that basis, our old money. Am I right?
Yes. In that case, Janet, these were design costs, mostly the Far West Engineering and others. So Far West did the design, billed us for it. We paid it as a portion of the grant match and then got reimbursement from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so yes.
Okay, so that means to say that we pay the expenses, but we won't be getting any reimbursement?
75%, yes.
75%. So is it in one of your...
No, that shows in the grant fund. Yeah. It doesn't show in the sewer.
But you're reporting as a grant in the revenue, as the total figures, right? Amount, the total amount.
Right. Well,
and when you're doing a matching.
Sherry has that in the grant budget.
What? Okay.
Where that revenue comes back in is in the grant section of the county budget. I show the expense of our 25% match in the sewer.
Okay. Thank you. Now, the capital layout of $341,000, is this really an expense that matter, or is it expenses that can be capitalized as an asset?
Where are you?
Yeah, $341,800, which is under the I believe it's capital outlay.
Sewer, we don't have that.
I think it's water.
Okay. Well, that's, we were talking about the...
I thought you were talking water and sewage together.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Well, that capital outlay is the, and Hugh put that in, is the infrastructure request of $273,800 plus $20,000. In for the plant, so that comes to the $293,800.
So it will be later converted as an asset, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is depreciable for the years. So how can it be considered as an expense if it is considered to be an asset, converted to an asset?
Been through this before. It has to be on a budget item. And so the capital outlay is a budget item for which we spend, let's say, $100,000 in capital expenditures. I then take that, and I take that to the depreciation schedule, and I book that as a fixed asset. But since it's an appropriation, it has to be in the capital outlay, which is in his budget.
But the capital outlay is contained whatever expenses that is expense out to the asset itself, not deducted under the audited account as you reported. If it is above $3,000, then it can be expensed to a capital outlay.
All right, we've gotten a little too in depth here on questioning. If you have
I have another questions.
Why don't you take it out of the school and talk about it after class, huh?
No, this is a clarification so that everybody know what is the real transactions of accounting. What is really being spent for?
Oh.
It's just not like taking, you have an asset, you can just transfer it straight away to another people
you
of your own wish.
Janet, excuse me, you brought up the same question with the purchase of the building for the sheriff and the district attorney. And it was done the same way, but you didn't understand it then and you don't understand it now.
So I understand it, but it's under the GAAP, it's not GASP, it's not true. Does not apply at all.
The difference is between accounting for government and non-government. They do things different when they book things in the government. It's just the way it is.
There is not much difference. There is some difference, yes, I agree with you. But there's not a lot of differences. It still always applies to the GAAP, accounting accepted principle. That is part of the rules as
okay.
You have stated. I don't want to argue any further.
I'm away from the chairman, but this isn't an argumentative session. This is just to go over the tentative budget.
What? I'm not arguing.
You can submit all of these questions later on.
I'm not arguing anything else. I just want to get some clarifications.
Okay, well.
Now, another question I need to ask is, are we going to make a continuous making of losses? Another thing is that we are going to take a $3 million load on the water. Now, looking at that, this $3 million, we have an outstanding of $577,000 for the previous, for currently. So $3 million we are coming to borrow. When I look at the budget, there is no principal allocation payment, as what he has said, that we won't make any payments for this year, for $3 million. But are we going to pay any interest for that, whatever we take out from that loan? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you. Any other public comment on water and sewer? I'll entertain a motion to approve the tentative budget for water and sewer.
Did we do that on the prior?
No, because we haven't finished all other. We recessed.
Okay.
All
right.
So.
Okay. Okay. Ahead of myself here? Okay. At this time, Mr. Chairman, move we approve the tentative budget for water and sewer.
All in favor?
Okay.
Aye. Okay. We are going to adjourn as the. Where am I here?
Oh. 25, Mr. Chairman.
25.
Come on, 25. All right, we're going to adjourn and reconvene with the Story County Board of Commissioners. But we're also going to take about 10 right now again. So we're going to have an hour and a half, I think.